Today on Older and Wiser,
a new survey reveals the brands America loves most, from toothpaste to soup.
Also, we've got some words and phrases that turn people off when shopping for food.
Plus, why most retirees dream of going back to work.
And we'll reveal where most dogs prefer to sleep.
Okay, you're listening to Older and Wiser. Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora. And today, as always, we're going through recent public opinion surveys. Our first item today, the 25 brands Americans love most, according to this new survey. I don't know about you, Susan. Were you surprised at the items on this list?
Some of them. I was surprised at some of the things that were not on the list.
Yeah. I don't know whether this is a surprise or not a surprise, but the number one brand that America apparently loves most is Google.
I use it a lot, all the time. A lot of us do.
Yeah.
Although we're starting to wonder, you know, what are they watching and what are they doing and what do they know and what's my privacy factor here? That's what you have to think about all the time, I think. Anyway, I'm paranoid.
Now, here's a weird one. Number two came in. It's Hershey's.
You've
the
never
chocolate
had TMS,
company.
Have you?
I mean,
there's
I
no
like
mystery
it.
Here.
I like Hershey's chocolate, but number two...
It means people are sitting at their computers looking things up on Google, and they're eating a chocolate bar while they're doing it.
Food showed up a lot on this list. Number three was Pillsbury. Number seven was Betty Crocker. So we've got two companies here who make basically cookies and cupcakes and... bread
well, Betty
items.
Crocker. Yeah, Betty Crocker is like cake mixes and stuff, too.
I guess food is important to people. Americans love those two companies, apparently, and as well as Campbell's Soup, which was the number 10 spot. Mm-hmm. Campbell's Soup.
I have to tell you, I'm not a participant in that one.
I know. Amazon.
Shopping everywhere. They're now bigger than God, so of course.
We use it all the time. If you've got a cell phone, if you've got a laptop, and you're buying stuff, you're probably buying it on Amazon. UPS was next, followed by Kellogg's, followed by Sony. I don't know why Sony.
YouTube came up soon after that, and I think YouTube is... I can see where that would be usable.
I would have put that higher. I would have put YouTube way higher than Sony.
Too. Yeah. If you need to know how to change a flat tire, there's 18 people who will tell you probably.
One of the great things about YouTube.
Yeah.
You're wondering any question. Somebody's made a video about it, which is fantastic.
I noticed Frito-Lay is farther down on the list than I would have put it. I would have put that right up by Hershey's.
Salt and sweet. You need the little chips to go with your Hershey candy bars. Yeah, I gotcha. Clorox is in there. I don't get that. Netflix is on the list, sort of in the middle. Levi's, I'm not surprised. Everyone wears jeans. Dollar Tree. What?
Oh, yes, honey. You don't know about Dollar Tree?
Well, I know there's the Dollar Tree stores, but I would be surprised that this is one of America's favorite brands.
That store went from someplace I would never walk into to something I walk into at least, if not once a week, then once every maybe 10 days.
But don't they mostly have little plastic items that you just don't need or
use? Yes, they do. And you bypass that and go to things like soap.
Do you buy things you don't need at the dollar store, though, just because it's a dollar?
No, you go in and you buy what you need. I'll tell you what else it's good for besides soaps and cleansers and things like that. Paper products.
Oh.
So if you need paper towels, now some of them are cheap. You got to look, and every week you can't always depend that the exact same brand will be there every week. I hate to say it, but let's be plain. Toilet paper.
Might as well.
There's several kinds. One is better than another. And, sometimes they're closeouts from stores that closed.
Okay.
And so when I see the kind that I like, I stock up, man. Four rolls for a dollar, you can't beat it.
All right. So Dollar Tree, you understand why that's on this list.
I do completely.
Okay. So also on the list, Lowe's, Samsung, Nestle, Lipton, I guess the soup people, General Mills, they make the cereal. And Microsoft. But I'm surprised that Apple is not on the list.
And I'm surprised that QVC is not on the list.
Your favorite.
And I'm not even joking here, okay? I have to say, I've made this clear. Anybody who knows me for longer than 15 minutes knows I shop the Q.
I wonder what the average age of the QVC viewer is.
What difference does it make?
I'm guessing it's older.
Well, you're guessing that because why? You tell me why.
Well, I think older people enjoy the perky hosts more than younger people would. I also feel like younger people are more adept at Amazon and other quick handheld shopping options, while QVC appeals to people who really don't know how to use a smartphone because they dial into the phone number that they put up on the screen.
Okay, that's all very interesting, Bob, but I think you're wrong. And here's why. Don't take me on about QVC. It's an object. It's a subject.
I'm not being critical of older people for choosing this. It's nice that there's an option for older people to buy things. I'm just saying that I think people who are watching QVC probably don't really feel comfortable buying things on Amazon.
Well, first of all, I shop both.
Oh, okay.
You give me a good close-up. I think the camera person and the director are almost more important, or certainly as important.
Okay.
Because I want to see the thing close-up.
Okay. No offense. Didn't mean to suggest that only old people watch
QVC.
No,
but it comes to your door, and even if you have to return it,
bottom line, Susan loves QVC.
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's move on. Our next survey today, here's the headline. People think these words make food sound gross. These are words that you see on the side of packaging when you're in the store that manufacturers put on the food item to make them sound more, probably more desirable. But in fact, what they often do is they turn people off. So among the words, this is a survey from Statista, and the worst word that turns more people off than any other word is vegan.
Not me.
People don't like the word vegan on their products, I guess.
Who doesn't like these words? Because I would guess it's people who really don't care about maybe a healthy choice. In other words, I'm here, I'm buying the potato chips I want. I'm not going to read the ingredients. I read ingredients. I'm very annoying to go shopping with. As much as I don't cook.
Do you think it has to do with the fact that people associate healthy foods with foods that don't taste good? And so if they see vegan or vegetarian on a package, they go, "Ick, that's not going to be delicious."
Absolutely.
And I'm going to ask Google, what is the difference between vegan and vegetarian?
I thought they were almost the same, but there might be a slight difference.
According to Global Healing Center, some vegetarians also exclude dairy, some don't, and some may consume eggs. Mm-hmm. Likewise, vegans avoid meat, poultry, and seafood, but they also take it a step further by eliminating all animal products from their diet.
Oh, okay. So vegans don't have animal products. So you can't
even eat an egg. I'll eat chicken or fish.
Okay. You'll eat chicken or fish. Yeah.
Yep.
And okay, so here are some of the other items people don't like to see on the side of a package. Diet. 31% don't like that.
Let me tell you something about diet, that if somebody puts diet, they maybe cut down on the sugar or put something artificial in that might do me harm, but maybe if it's a processed food of some kind, there's more fat or there's more salt. So I've got to look at everything now. So diet doesn't tell me a whole lot unless I really read the label carefully.
It also could contain chemicals that you worry about. Number three, sugar-free.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's most people, 20% of people don't really like to see the word sugar-free on the packaging.
I look for it.
Fat-free, gluten-free.
Fat-free, another is deceptive like diet. Go ahead, gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
I don't know. To me, the jury's out on that. I know people who went on that diet and feel better, and others, you know, say, I don't know.
Well, if you've ever had a gluten-free item, like gluten-free cookies, for example, mm-hmm. you know that they taste a little different. They do have a different consistency. They're a little denser and more kind of a crunchier sort of thing.
Yes.
If you like
yes.
that, that's fine. But if you don't, I can see why you wouldn't want gluten-free on the package.
Well,
I think you people feel like you pay more for some of these things. Oh, if
yes,
it's organic, which is also on the list, gluten-free, these are things you're going to pay a premium to have. So you tend to avoid them just so you don't have to pay more.
Ethically sourced does mean something more and more in my life these days.
Although, again, you think that if it's ethically sourced or sustainable sourced, it's probably going to cost more because they had to spend more to source it sustainably or ethically.
Bottom line, in many cases, for most Americans, I think, is what does this stuff cost?
Our next survey comes to us from the RAND Corporation. It was a recent American Working Conditions survey, and the headline is basically this, that most retirees wish they could return to work. Apparently, over half of those age 50 and above who weren't working said they would return to work under the right conditions.
What are those conditions?
They would like to have control over how they do their work.
Good luck.
They
with
like
that.
Flexibility in their hours, mm-hmm. and they want to keep the physical demands of the job at a reasonable level.
Which, by the way, there's a lot of people in different ages that would like those things too, but you can't always find them.
Can't always find them. I think there's a certain percentage of people, though, who once they retire, they kind of wish they hadn't because they miss the interaction with younger people. There was a report published recently by Northwest Mutual that found that nearly two-thirds of individuals who plan to work past the age of 65 by choice say they do so because they enjoy their career, while another 60% need the additional disposable income. So 65% do it because they enjoy their career. I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, I always, my little test question is always, if you won the lottery tomorrow, would you quit your job or not?
This question comes up a lot to lottery winners, and very often they go right back to work.
Yes.
In this article, there's a lady named Blanche Lozar who lives in Zeleno, Pennsylvania, and she says, I wouldn't like staying home. There's nothing on television. There's only so much yard work you can do. I feel like I know more about the world being in it than being at home.
She's
70 and she continues to work.
Yeah. But I think there's different ways to be in the world. I think we are very, and maybe this is really endemic in America, more so than other places. I think in other countries, they know how to say, this is work, but I have other things that make me who I am. In America, I think we define ourselves by what we do. And once we don't have that, oh my gosh, I have no identity. And that's not true, but you have to explore it.
It is something you have to actively explore. You're absolutely
right. Because, it's an aggressive thing.
Yeah,
it's an active thing, not passive. It's not just going to walk up and knock on your door. You've got to go out and find it. If you stay home all the time and your money is fine and you can pay your rent and you've got your groceries or whatever, that's okay. But if you don't interact with people once in a while, get out the door and do something.
People like to be needed, like to be considered valuable to the world. And when they retire, they enjoy the fact that they don't have to get up in the morning and drive to work, but soon enough they begin to realize they're not needed.
So your point
that you have to actively go out and make yourself valuable to people is it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's
on
one you've got to do.
A lot of older people, especially women, who have been caretakers for, let's say, husbands or friends who have passed on or parents who have passed on. I was in that situation, in two of those situations. And after a while, you say, you know what? This time now is just time for me to breathe and focus on myself a little bit. And that tends to feel a lot of women feel guilty doing that. I think particularly women my age. But I don't know. I mean,
but also, your point about the need to be needed, you obviously were needed, and you obviously accomplished something very important for the people in your life. So that, just like a job, is just as important. So
that's true. That's true.
All right, time to move on to something a little lighter. This next survey reveals dog sleeping habits. In case you were wondering how dogs sleep and where they sleep. Were you wondering that? I bet you were.
I know where dogs sleep because I'm only going on cats because you know I am a cat person.
I'm always
wondering, where's the equal time for cats?
Yeah.
And
But let's pretend for just this moment that you like dogs and that you have a little doggy
like
in your house.
Okay.
A recent survey of 10,000 pet parents provide some interesting data on where exactly dogs like to sleep. I don't think it takes much to guess that the most popular place that a dog would select for his sleeping time would be on the bed. Right? I mean, that seems pretty obvious. 53% of dogs sleep in bed with their owners.
I'm not surprised.
25% sleep under the covers. I don't think that's not okay.
I know cats have done that.
That is not okay. And a whopping 39% sleep with their head on the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
I'm not disputing any of this because you just know what goes on in my house. And I don't have a dog or a cat.
I am not a dog person myself. We've had a dog and I liked our dog, but the idea of the dog sleeping in bed with me with his head on the pillow, no. First of all, there's noise involved, right? And dog breath. That dog is going to be all night long next to you.
Well, I don't know. See, we don't have a dog breath problem in my house because I have a cat.
Is that a crazy affection for dogs to allow dog to sleep with his head on the pillow in your bed with you?
As long as the dog is clean and doesn't have a lot of fleas. If the dog's running around outside all day in a field and then comes in and needs a bath and then you do it, then that's stupid. But if you've got especially small dogs who can fit on the bed and they're clean or they stay in or they, you know, you've just, the bed, dog's just had a bath, fine, what's wrong? You know what?
I just think there's something unhealthy. First of all, what kind of a relationship would you be having with your mate if your dog was sleeping in between you with his head on the pillow?
Well, maybe the mate prefers the dog to you too.
That's a whole other story.
maybe they both at that point after, you know, 30 years of marriage or something, or 40 years of marriage, maybe they get along better with the dog.
I think that is, in fact, probably the key to this, why dogs sleep with their head on the pillow.
Hey, how many times have you read about a story where a couple is divorcing and they're fighting, not over the house, they're fighting over who gets custody of the dog?
I always thought that would be a perfect court show. Who gets the dog, you know? And you get people in there fighting.
Judge Judy, where are you?
Judge Judy. Now, not all pups snooze on their human's bed. 20% sleep in their own bed.
Mm-hmm.
And 12% sleep in a crate. I know this is a thing. I know that many dogs feel comfortable in their crate or their, you know, their little carrier.
I don't know. To me, if I had a dog, it would be a small dog. And yes, it would sleep on the bed and it would be clean.
2% of dogs sleep under the bed.
Under
that'd be
bed.
Weird. Yeah, that'd be
weird. Well, on a hot day, most pets will go under a bed because it's shady, there's no sun, it's cooler.
And, of course, as we all know, 48% of dogs snore. So you combine the 48% of dogs who snore with the 39% of dogs with their head on the pillow, I think that's a problem. Call me crazy.
I think, you know what I see in your future? Cats.
All right. Well, that's it for another episode of Older and Wiser. We are so glad you could join us today.
And you're going to find all the surveys we discussed today, plus lots of other interesting news, our top videos, and celebrity Twitter at olderandwiser.com.
See you next time.